great to have you with us. It is great to be back at the Golden One Center tonight, the Kings and the Pacers. Devin Gleason, Kyle Draper. Drapes, obviously, not the night we were hoping for. No Tyrese Halliburton tonight. He won't be playing, although he spoke to the media today. He had been upgraded to questionable with a hamstring strain. But as you well know, he's not going to be playing tonight. That said, it's still a special night for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the fact that tonight marks the halfway point of the season. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm excited about tonight's game. No Tyrese, so that's a little bit of a bummer, you know, because he's a joy to watch and obviously his ties. But you know what's so crazy? Halfway point of the season, and we're already ahead of last year's pace. Through 40 games, we have a better record this year, Whitey, than last year. And so this is about the time last year when Sacramento kicked it into overdrive. And so as I know we feel a little upset about the last couple of losses and everything like that, but now's the time for the Kings to really turn it up.
So right now the Kings are 23-17, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Game 41 last year, they beat Houston 139-114 to raise a record at 23-18.
Yep.
And that was the third win of a sixth straight winning streak there, six straight wins.
Yep.
So it's pretty close, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Kings come out tonight after what happened to them the last couple of games. And also, as we look back on the first half of the season and look ahead to figure out, all right, where is this thing? Is it still headed in the direction we all thought it was headed in?
Right. And I think coming off those last two losses, you got two here at home. These are statement kind of games. Like, these games will tell us who we have as a Sacramento Kings team. You know, we talked to Jason Anderson yesterday, and he talked about De'Aaron Fox sitting in the locker room for 20 minutes by himself after the loss to Phoenix. Well, now's the time to see De'Aaron bounce back, see this team bounce back. This Indiana team, severely shorthanded. You know, they got the Pascal Siakam trade. They're still working through and everything. So no Siakam, obviously no Tyrese. This is a team, even though they have the same record as you, they are not the same Indiana Pacers team we've seen all year long. And so I think we need one of those beat-down kind of wins tonight, not just for standings. Obviously, you want to, you know, stay out of that play-in spot, but also psychologically, right? You need a feel-good win. We need – think about this, Whitey. When's the last time this Kings fan base saw their squad at home?
It's been a while.
It's been a while, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks, a week and a half.
Exactly. And if I'm correct, as I pull up the Kings' schedule, it was not a good feeling the last time they were in this building. You remember that game? Hold up. I'm going all the way back, big fella. I'm going all the way
that
back.
Was that the New Orleans game?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. That's what
all
I'm
right.
talking about.
See, I was trying to block that up. Trying to forget all about that.
And here's the thing. I had, because I was doing pre and post that night.
Yeah.
I had season ticket holders walking past me, giving me dirty looks.
Yeah.
I didn't even play, but they left this building upset. So that's what I'm talking about. Psychologically, this fan base needs a big win tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think it would be really nice. Hey, you take a win however you can get it. But if the Kings were able to come out and just set the tone tonight. Now, if they don't and they still win, that's fine. But wouldn't it be nice? Because you know that there's kind of a sense here amongst Kings fans of, we're not sure where this is headed. We're optimistic still, but what's going on? And it'd be nice for fans to come out tonight just to get the idea from the jump that the Kings mean business tonight. And let's just have fun tonight.
You know, sometimes, you know, we want to talk about the Kings and their championship aspirations and a deep playoff run and all this. Sometimes you actually got to look the part, right?
Yeah.
You can't just keep saying it.
If that's you're not, true.
You know, eventually we're going to have to start believing what we're seeing. And so I'm hoping tonight, to your point, the Kings look the part tonight of a Western Conference contender, of a team that can go deep in the playoffs.
How much time, personal question, how much time are you going to be spending after the game with your Disneyland buddy, Buddy Hield? I know you guys you guys are tight.
Dude,
you know that.
Dude, I tell you what. That picture, like, Buddy's my guy. Like,
I know.
We always say hi. We always chop it up. But, man, he has turned into public enemy number one here in SAC. I put that picture out there on social media, and it was like I took a picture with Marvin Bagley or something. Like,
what was that, August or something?
Yeah,
something
it was
maybe a little later.
September, like Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Yep. Him and his family out there. And
it was a nice picture.
It was a great picture. You know, you got an NBA player walking around Disney. My daughter was with me. Why not take the picture? You know, the funny thing about that, and fortunately my daughter's in school right now, I took a picture with Buddy Hield But she didn't. Like, I should have said, here, take a picture with my daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she didn't get in any of the pictures. It was all about me and my guy, Buddy. And so, no, we'll chop it up tonight before the game.
Yeah. It is interesting the way these two franchises are kind of intertwined, most significantly, of course, with the trade. But, you know, not only was that a trade that helped both teams, I mean, both these teams kind of lifted each other out of mediocrity with that trade, right? I mean, it's been great for both teams.
They became relevant after that trade. And it's worked out for both sides. We've talked about that. But the thing that you're seeing with Indiana, and now with this Pascal Siakam trade, you know, they've become almost a destination. Like, Pascal Siakam, what was the word we heard last week? Pascal would not want to re-sign here in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Didn't want to go anywhere. Not willing to commit to any team.
Not willing to commit. But for some reason, all of a sudden, he's willing to commit to Indiana. When have you ever heard a big-name player that wasn't already on the roster say, you know what? I want to go play for the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
So it has definitely changed their franchise. And we know what that trade has done for Sacramento.
Yeah. I don't know how much truth there is to this, but one of the things I read, you probably read it too, is that Siakam really loved the idea of playing with Miles Turner. Like, he was second on his list of guys he wanted to play with.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe that's just a way of trying to explain it. And maybe it came down to Siakam was just not going to commit to any team he didn't really want to play for. If he ever got traded, you know, to a team he liked, then bingo, here we are. But I do think it was interesting. We'll talk about this as well. Your buddy Kevin O'Connor today wrote that, or maybe it was yesterday that he wrote that, he thinks the Kings were still willing to make that deal. They just didn't want to give up as much if they didn't get a guarantee. So it's not like they said, nope, we're out.
Right.
They said, I don't know if we're going to get as much.
And Sam Amick went on Carmichael Dave this morning and said that it was very close to happening.
Wow.
Like, think about that.
Yeah.
We sat here, you know, a couple of weeks ago when it was.
Somebody was telling me, there's no way that's going
to
happen.
Hey, and I was proven to be right, you know, but it came close, but I was proven to be right. But, man, how do you feel knowing the Kings did not get it done and the Pacers did? Does that make you feel a type of way, or are you okay with it?
I'm okay depending on what the Kings eventually do.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Yeah, if they end up they're not able to do anything, that would sting a little bit. If they're able to get somebody, and again, as I told you yesterday, at this point, I don't care who you get. Just get somebody. You know, I've gone back and forth on Jeremy Grant. Right now, I'm like, I'm totally in. I'm totally in on Jeremy Grant.
You're in on Jeremy Grant
right
now?
I am today, yes.
Hold on. Yesterday.
Yes, I know. You're right. I know. I've gone back and forth on it. You know, after the way the Kings played the last two games, the bar is lowered for me a little bit.
Oh my God.
Jeremy Grant would help this team. So whoever it is, I know you pointed out to us that Kevin O'Connor has a potential trade that we'll talk about involving Jeremy Grant. Yes, I'm all in on it. It's a fun time of year, but it won't be any fun if the Kings are not able to get anything done.
Yeah, you got to do something if you're Monty McNair. You put together a solid roster, a good roster, a team we could be proud of, but Mike Brown has said it. Your goal is to build a champion. And you're looking at what everybody else is doing in the NBA. Look at Minnesota. Look at OKC. All the teams ahead of you. Are we on par with them? Right now, we're not. So you got to move, mm-hmm. move the ball down the field. Right now, if we're playing an NFL game, in terms of reaching the championship, we're not even in field goal range yet.
Nope.
We're still not even in field goal range. So at least get us in field goal range this year, Monty.
Yeah. Hey, I want to shift gears just a little bit here before we go to break.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a lot of Kings here this hour. Something really interesting is going on in town. I know we've touched on it just a little bit this week. The whole issue of Sacramento possibly being a temporary home for the A's. John Shea reported that in the Chronicle Monday. And so when John Shea throws it out there, that's not nothing. And they've talked with NBC Sports California about what the TV contract would be like. So they've had discussions. We know they've discussed it. Today, according to reports, guess who's touring the ballpark? The Oakland A's in Sacramento touring Sutter Health Ballpark. So now you've got Oakland fans saying, please, Sacramento, please don't support that. So what are we supposed to do?
Let's keep it real, Whitey. It's not just fans in the city of Oakland. We've bashed the organization all year long, basically, since this news came out.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they might want to come to Sacramento, are we supposed to embrace them, make them ours? This is a tough conundrum. And I might add, who owns the ballpark over there At Sutter Health.
Mr. Ron Adive. Exactly. Well, no. He owns the team.
The team that plays there.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You would have to imagine.
Does he own the stadium, too?
I think he might. I think he might. We'll have to look that up. But you have to imagine he's on board with this.
Yes.
And so me, as a Kings employee, I'm caught in a weird situation right here. I'll call it like I see it. You know, this is a tough pill to swallow because we spent the entire last 6-7 months bashing the organization, bashing A's ownership. And now that they're going to perhaps play here, we're supposed to forget about it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like they're just using us, though.
Well,
right?
But it works both ways because Sacramento, on the list of potential Major League expansion cities,
right.
Sacramento might not be on the list.
Right.
But if we hosted a team for 3 years and really showed out.
Yep.
So that's what's
Oklahoma City part 2.
Yeah.
That's what happened with the Thunder, right?
So that and this if anybody knows how painful it is to lose your team, it's the fans of Sacramento who came so close. So what are we supposed to do? And then you got the Oakland fans that we've been supporting saying, "Please, please don't get behind this."
I want to dive into this more throughout the next, 3.5 hours or whatever it is because I want to hear from the fans, like how do they feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how do you feel bashing the ownership, saying so long, sayonara, whatever, we won't support. They won't support them down there in Oakland. But now are we saying you're actually going to go to the games here in Sacramento? I don't know about that, man. It has been a wild day for me. I'll keep it real with you. It has been one of those days, and I'm red hot. I'm fired up. Let's go.
All right, we're back with more on that. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Very significant Sacramento Sports Day. Also, as we just discussed here, Kevin O'Connor's plan B to save the Kings season and keep the future bright. Drive Guys coming to you from the Golden One Center, Kings and Pacers tonight. We'll have it all for you right here on Sacktown. Kyle Draper, Kevin Gleason coming to you from the Golden One Center, of course, because the Kings and Pacers play tonight. Also today, we have the, I don't know if they're still around, but we know that the Oakland A's were touring Sutter Health Park because there's a possibility that the A's are going to play the 25, 26, 27 seasons here before they end up going to Vegas. I threw out a question on Twitter Monday when this story first broke. I just asked people, how many games would you go to? And it was running like 8 or 9 to 1 against and strongly against, like less than 0. I would never go, and then every so often you get, I would get season tickets.
Really?
I want to see
Wow.
It. But the vast majority is no, not on your life.
I understand the dichotomy here for Sacramento fans. But to your point, if Sacramento fans pack the stadium, pack the building, Rob Manfred looks at that and says, you know what? Maybe professional baseball could work in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have we heard, about some sort of, whether it's Major League expansion, MLS team coming here, whatever. We're starving for a second major professional franchise. And if we show out, that could move us closer.
It could.
But it could also line the pockets of Fisher and the Oakland A's, which is – it's hard to swallow.
Yeah. Realistically, I don't know to what extent to which they could actually line their pockets. It's more like just kind of getting by before they go to Vegas. But here's the thing. I agree with everything you said. However, if you look at the cities that baseball's looking at now already, we're so far behind those cities. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't get into the running.
Are we?
Yes.
Nashville?
Montreal, Nashville, Portland.
We're bigger TV markets.
I know, but we're just, baseball already has talked. They have already had groups in place. We could catch up, a little bit, make up some ground. But I don't think Sacramento would get an expansion team for a long time. That said, whatever happens now, 25 through 27, could be, crucial in helping that along. But I just think it's going to be a long time from now.
Yeah, and you might be right. And that's sad to think because we know how great this city is. We know how great this fan base is. And I do believe if another major league team or MLS team or whatever it may be comes here, we would firmly support it. It would become one of ours,
Yeah.
And I could argue, go back to 1985. I'm sure there were some people that thought, we don't need the Sacramento King basketball here in Sacramento. Like, why would they go to Sacramento? How come they don't go to Louisville, instead? Because Louisville at the time was a basketball hub. They had the ABA. And look what the Kings have turned into. And so you might be right. But I think, if MLB thinks that, MLS, whoever it may be, I think that's short-sighted. I'm looking at the long play, and it could be something that this city is proud of and calls its own.
Right. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it wouldn't benefit the city at all. I just think the benefits would be down the road. It's just trickier, as we know, given that you've got the Oakland fans that are so close. I mean, we're kind of the same. You know, a lot of Sacramento people are Oakland A's fans who go to Oakland. That's where it gets real tricky here. But you're right. I mean, Vivek, there have been stories linking him to National Hockey League expansion teams.
Right.
So bless him for trying to bring another team here.
And here's the thing we know about Vivek. He has big ideas and big dreams. I mean, think about Doko, the development we've seen down here, downtown arena, and everything like that. Can you imagine, like, the fervor that he would try to pursue another professional sports team in town? Like, I mean, you know, from an ownership point, it would be a no-brainer. If you're Vivek, if you're a business person, it would be a no-brainer to try and bring an MLB franchise here.
Yeah, so you'd be going out there to watch the A's if they're in town next year.
It would be tough, man. It would really be hard. I'd have to canvas my friends and everybody and be like, we're all in. I'd have to take a poll here on our show.
Like, I know.
Should we support this or not? You know, like, what would we do, Sacramento?
I don't know. Yeah, I know back during the summer when we talked about this, my feeling was I would feel better if Sacramento just didn't get involved in any of that. But now it looks like we are, so we're going to have to make some choices.
And the problem is it's not Major League Baseball that we're against. It's that team. That ownership. If this was Kansas City that wanted to play here or something like that, I don't think it would be that much. But because of what John Fisher and the A's have done to our neighbors to the west, Oakland, you know, it's like.
But MLB owners are culpable, too.
They've kind of turned
a blind eye to all this, going, just get it done, whatever. You know,
if Manfred came out tomorrow and said, we want to expand and we want Sacramento to be a city.
Yeah.
We would jump all over that. Well, we'd be like, let's go.
Of course.
Make it happen.
If only it were that simple.
If only it were that simple, right?
Yeah. And we'll see. Maybe this is some kind of smokescreen. Maybe the A's are not going to end up here, but certainly something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
And they were in town today, so appears to be certainly a real possibility here. How about the Kings winning tonight? That's a real possibility, right? Shorthanded Pacers, let's go.
They better.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a statement win. I was driving here, and I was doing the speed limit, even though I was running late.
Of course
Whitey,
you
trust
were.
Me. I was
10-2
the whole way, baby, 10-2. But this is almost a must-win game. And I know there's a lot of, you know, we still got half the season to play. Things can change, turn around. But the way this team is playing right now in terms of closing out games, I think it's kind of fragile right now. Like, you know, I mentioned it in our first segment. Psychologically, we need a good showing tonight. We need a win tonight. I do think when you look at the Kings in this season, there are some people that think even though their record is better this year.
It's really close, by the way.
One game.
Yeah.
But they aren't as good this year. And I could argue they probably are better this year than they won last year, because think about some of these losses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've let games slip away. They should have at least won one out of these last two.
But like, that cuts both ways.
Does it?
Sure. It's like, wow, they could have won that game. Yeah, but they didn't. And they didn't win that one either, or that one either, or that one either. It's hard to feel like that's a positive.
I think at their best, they are a better team than they were last year. I think De'Aaron Fox is a better player. I think Domantas Sabonis is a better player. I think Keegan Murray is better. I think Malik Monk is better. You know, and so I think this is a better team when they are at their best than they were a season ago.
The key to it all may be what you said about they're not in a good headspace. Did you use that term? Maybe I imagined you said that. But talking about where they are.
I said mentally, they're a little fragile.
Yeah. Because, you know, and this, we're getting way over our skis, but it's not hard to see how last year They were a team that took everybody by surprise. They just, everybody was on the same page. This is what we're doing. Watch out for us. And this year, there's a lot more uncertainty. Like,
right.
Are we, what are we again? We were offensive. Last year, we were a juggernaut. This year, we got to play better defense, but we're not playing better defense. What are we? How are we supposed to do this? So I just, that's the thing. Maybe they're playing better overall at times, but right now there's a hesitancy or an uncertainty,
yeah.
A lack of confidence that we didn't see last year that's troubling.
Lack of confidence. That's yeah. a good way to say it, because even in the games that we watch, you know, ignore the record, like just these last two collapsing the way that they have.
Yes.
Missing the free throws, you know, blowing a 22-point lead. That wouldn't happen last year. Like, and I said it the other day, last year the Kings found ways to win. This year they're finding ways to lose. I will say this, though, Whitey, and the people at home listening or driving or at work, momentum can cut both ways. I thought last year, and you mentioned it, we were in the midst of a 6-game winning streak right around this time
mm-hmm,
last year.
Mm-hmm.
You can ride that wave of emotion, that feel good, you know, and that propelled them the second half of the season. Conversely, I think the doubt can start to creep in. The 50-50 balls don't go your way. The breaks don't go your way. The foul shots don't go your way. That can start to snowball as well. That's why I think tonight is so critical. You know, they have not lost 4 games in a row, Whitey, since the first 4 games of last year.
I had not
realized
that.
Last year. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this team has done a tremendous job of, you know what, stemming the tide, stopping, you know, remember, it was a couple of years ago. We had like 2 9-game losing streaks. And so this team has found a way. And so that's why I think this game is so important. Just to get the good vibes back. Then you got Atlanta at home. And you go 2-0 and you're starting to feel good again about yourself.
I'm going to ask you a question. And I think your first reaction is going to just be instantly to say no. But I want you really to think about it. And I don't know what the answer is. So I'm not trying to get you to say, huh, the answer is yes. Do you think that all the trade talk may be having – an adverse effect on any of the players, and as a result, to a degree, the team? I don't know the answer. It's something I wonder about.
It's a great question, and I can't absolutely say 100%, but I would imagine it has to.
They all say the right thing.
They all
right?
say
they
all the
we're
right.
professionals. Yeah.
But maybe, you know, when they're here, it's not bothering them. But when they go home to their wives and families, Daddy, are we going to have to move to Portland? Are we going to, you know, you get those questions, right?
Right.
You know, your spouse starts looking at schools maybe in some of these other places. And so how much is it affecting them? I don't know. But as a human being, you got to think it's on their minds at some point.
Right. It's easy as a fan to say, well, that's just part of it. They should deal with it. But there's only you can only do so much of that as a person.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
it starts to eat at you a little bit. All right. We're going to share with you that plan as promised to. It's a plan B to save the Kings season after Siakam went elsewhere. We have that for you next from the Golden 1 Center. Drive guys on Sacktown Sports. Out here at the Golden 1 Center, Kyle Drape with Kevin Gleason. When I came out here, I thought, man, the Pacers got a young squad, but it's actually some youngsters having scrimmages here. I can't watch these things. They had some girls playing earlier, and, you know, poor RJ's putting up with me. I'm just watching them and going, no, that's not how she should do that. Does anyone ever coach these kids? It's hard for me to watch kids that I don't feel have been coached.
Really?
Properly. Yes.
Look at you, ready to run down there?
Yes.
And
hey,
have
hey,
a
hey.
Run some laps or something?
Right.
Or,
right.
Teach them how to do a layup. You
teach
know?
Them how to close out, get in a defensive stance. Something.
Oh man.
But they're having fun, so it's better that I'm. It's better that I'm up here.
You know what? And I know exactly what you mean. And my thing isn't necessarily about the fundamentals and the closeout. It's the way they play. And I'm not talking about these kids. My son plays 9th grade ball at Vista. And sometimes, I love those kids. Great kids.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to watch. Because I'm about the extra pass, move the ball, cut. You know, all this ISO ball and everybody out to get their numbers, it bothers me sometimes. I'll admit. It bothers me sometimes. And, you know, when you watch NBA basketball every day, and you see the way you go to the practices, you hear what the coaches are talking about, then you go to a high school game or an elementary school game, it's like, yeah, we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
We got a long way to go.
Yeah. Some of the best advice my brother ever gave me was, you know, he's older and he played pickup, and then I started playing pickup, and he said, look, when you get in a game, when you don't know the guys, share the ball. because then you're going to get it back.
Right.
And he's right. It's great advice.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes you get the ball back, and depending on who you're playing with, sometimes you don't.
I'll tell you what. My last run at the Folsom Lifetime, dude, I nearly stormed off the court. Man, because I cannot play with guys who don't know how to play.
Yeah.
It just bothers the head. And I'm not saying I'm you know, the end all be all.
You're not talking about being a good player. You're talking about just knowing how to
the
play.
Game and how to try to play as a team. The extra pass.
Yeah.
It's like, don't drive into three or four defenders. What about drive and kick? Like, drive and kick should be simple for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's basketball.
Pretty simple, basic
101. Yeah. Very basic basketball. But no, I played with guys that are driving in, trying, throwing shots. It was. Literally, we lost the game, and I was upset. I was like, I can't play. I can't. So I don't know if I'll go back, man. It was frustrating.
Did you have to leave the court then? You didn't get to play? Did someone else take the court?
Yeah, and it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
They only had one side going, like one court, full court, and there literally were like 28 people there.
Yeah.
It was like.
Because you want to get a run
you
in,
get
and then
a
when
run
you lose,
in.
It's like,
and
ah.
Then you lose, and you know, playing with Yahoos. No offense, guys. I'm sure they might be listening, but I was so frustrated. I will say, though, let me make a quick announcement. Very special honor tomorrow night that I'll be a part of. I don't know if you follow me on IG, Instagram, or if you're even on there, Mr. Kevin Gleason.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be the host / in-arena announcer for the Vista Del Lago Eagles varsity basketball game tomorrow night.
That's
so
nice.
During the pregame, during the game, halftime, you know.
That's
introductions.
Great.
So, yeah.
Tremendous. That'll be fun, and that'll be such a thrill for the – for the players. Yeah, a lot of stuff on social media. If your mom doesn't post it, I don't see it.
So. Ouch. You know what's so crazy? And I didn't tell you this because I didn't want it to go to your head. The other day she texted me and said, this was about to do the show. This was probably Tuesday, I would imagine. Tell my buddy I said hi.
Nice.
I'm like, what? What are you
yes.
doing, Mom? No. I don't know if she's talking about you or not, but she said,
wow.
Oh, my buddy.
I appreciate that
I said,
very much.
Oh, my gosh.
Mrs. Draper, and thank you for telling me. I know that wasn't easy for you.
Unbelievable, man. Ridiculous.
That's nice. No, it's a great honor. Good for you.
Thank
Good
you.
For you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
How about the story that Kyle Draper shared with me?
Yes.
We want to share with you, and it's your buddy Kevin O'Connor again. Kevin O'Connor's plan B for the Kings, how to save the season now that Siakam is going elsewhere. And so he says Sacramento's attention should be glued on Jeremy Grant and Pistons forward Bojan Bogdanovic.
Wow.
Not just on one of them, but both. Somebody on the chat says Whitey goes back and forth on players the Kings should acquire, like Draper goes back and forth on teams that he roots for to beat the 49ers. But, yes, I'm all in on Jeremy Grant now. But what do you make of that, Jeremy Grant and Bogdanovic? Good
like
player, bad
players.
Hair.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, he's holding on to it. I actually like that idea. I like both players. I think Jeremy Grant immediately could help you. Bogdanovic also. I mean, it's an upgrade. I mean, you know, you look at Jeremy Grant, he could defend. He's spot-up shooter, catch-and-shoot guy. And Bogdanovic, we just saw him light us up in Detroit. Like, he went off in that first half. And so I think it would be a great move. With that being said, because Kevin O'Connor wrote about this and put this out there, I don't agree with the package that he talked about. But I don't know if we have enough to get it done.
He also says Bogdanovic is a more seasoned offensive player than Herter, and he's a better defender too. Yeah, but he's not a guard. Herter is, I know,
yeah,
6'7",
but I don't
believe Bogdanovic plays the two. I don't know if he's ever played
play
the two.
Especially defensively at
right,
the two.
Right,
you know, yeah, you're right about that. And so, and this is our guy, Kevin O'Connor.
Right.
Who's supposed to know these things. But and also, Bogdanovic is 34 years old, too. What do you think? Does that scare you off or anything like that? His age at this point?
At this point, you know how I feel. Bring him on. Let's go.
Let's
I think
see,
he could help us this year. Yeah, and I apologize because it's Bogdanovic, right? It's Bogey Bogdanovic, and this guy's Bojan
Bogdanovic.
And I apologize.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably it doesn't. Maybe it should. It doesn't. But again, my thing is just the fit here with like him for Herter doesn't. You can't really do that, Kevin O'Connor. But otherwise, he's a good player. And Jeremy Grant, I think it would hinge on how he wants to play. When he was with Oklahoma City and they had all those stars, mm-hmm. you know, he was kind of a glue guy, a highly skilled glue guy. Then he went to Detroit and Portland, and he just got a lot of money and gets a lot of shots up. So
yeah.
Does he want to win? Does he want to help this team win? He would really – I think he's a good defender, and he's a good shooter. And if he is really interested in winning, I think he could really help this team.
No, I 100% agree. And, you know, people look at his numbers in Detroit and say, you know what, he put up numbers, but it was on a bad team. He was searching shots. I'm a firm believer with not just him, but other guys around the league. You put them in the right system. You put them in the right environment where they're part of a team, well coached, you know, other leaders on the team. Think about it. He played with Dame Lillard, who you had to live with constant trade talk and trade chatter and everything like mm-hmm. that. It was dysfunctional down the stretch at times. Then this year, look at their team, full of young guys, really just a bunch of guys thrown together, no real coherent system. And so I think we don't need Jeremy Grant to be the 27-point-per-game score, 26. Come here and be a 22-point-per-game
guy. Oh, that would be tremendous.
That would be tremendous. And so, you know, one thing – when I look at the contracts, too, his contract's at 27, 29 next year, 32, 34. So it's getting up there. And then a player option in 27, 28 for 36. The good thing is you have him under control. Like, this is not a guy that can bounce after a year
right.
or anything like
right.
that.
Right, not a rental.
Right, not a rental. And so I actually like the idea. I just don't know if we have the assets to give it up. Looking at Kevin O'Connor's tweet and what he said about this as I pulled this up, his package that he was talking about, let's run it down. The Pistons fire sale, he said, seems like it has already begun. As for the Kings, they could send Barnes and Mitchell with picks to Portland for Grant. So Barnes and Mitchell and picks, he said,
mm-hmm.
not a pick, picks.
They do have a lot of second-rounders, too, at their disposal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Herter with picks to Detroit. You think that would be enough?
Depending on what the picks are.
You know, are we talking first rounders? Is he
I'm not giving up three firsts for anybody, but if I could give a first and then, you know, change in some, you know, spare change with some second picks, I would do that. But the price tag for these guys now,
yeah.
I mean, if I'm Portland, like, hey, this is Jeremy Grant, it's going to cost at least two ones, and I'd have to consider that.
You would consider
I'd have
two
to consider
ones?
It, because that's what it costs, isn't it? It just, that's
wow.
what it takes to get a guy
I
like
guess
that.
Siakam costs, but Siakam is a two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA.
Mm. Right.
You know, Jeremy Grant.
That's why over at Portland, we're only asking for two for him. Not three, we're not being unreasonable.
So a couple of players and two first-round picks.
Yeah. Ah, well, a first in a couple seconds, right. I think that would be highly doable. I mean, if I'm the Kings, I think, yes, let's go. Let's make that happen. That's what I'm guessing
okay.
their approach would be.
Right.
Don't
right.
you think?
Yeah, yeah.
If they were that close on Siakam, you know that they're looking at this
right.
very closely.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And I think Jeremy Grant will help this team. It's clear as day they need to upgrade the roster. They need to make some changes. Because even though the record is better than it was a season ago by one game, I don't know if this team, as presently constructed, gets out of the first round.
And they also like, need yeah. a push.
Yeah, they,
like, they need a sign that, yes, we're behind you guys and we're going to do something to make the team better. Don't
right.
you think if Jeremy Grant came here, he would right now be their best defender?
Yeah. Yeah, him or Keegan, yeah. I mean, De'Aaron Fox, too. Like, I don't know, but he would.
He might be. I think he would be, but.
Yeah, but it's debatable.
Yeah.
But, I do think his length is something we need. We don't have length. Look at all our positions. We don't have positional length, and
right.
I think you need that in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, so there you go, a plan B for saving the Kings. And maybe we'll be hearing more about that in the days to come when we come right back to the Golden 1 Center. Here's an idea, Kyle. How about the Kings make some free throws next? Drive guys on Sacktown. Big day at Sacramento Kings tonight against the Pacers, halfway point of the season. No Tyrese Halliburton, although he did talk to the media today. We'll hear what he had to say coming up here with the Drive guys. It's just the way it goes. Disappointing. You know, RJ running our show here.
Yeah.
We were talking before the show. and mentioned that Halliburton's not playing, and he was like, no, really? That's why that was the thing I was looking forward to the most. So
no, he's
it's unfortunate.
You know, as much as, you know, has been made about him or De'Aaron Fox and, you know, by the national media and everything, I think one thing we all agree, Tyrese Halliburton is a joy to watch. He is one of those guys that around the league you start to pay money to come see. Whitey, the third installment of the All-Star voting came out today.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese Halliburton had the third most out of all guards in the NBA in terms of total votes.
Wow.
Behind Luka and Steph Curry. Tyrese Halliburton, based on fan voting, the third most popular guard in the NBA right now.
That's incredible. Yeah. Also noticed, maybe because of your efforts, front court, 10th now is Domas.
My guy.
So he's only like $1.3 million out of a starting spot. And then, let's see here.
Fox moved up, right?
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox is seventh.
So now, yeah.
Both of them in the top 10, but it's still, you know, woefully short of where they should
where
be.
They should be.
At least, you know, thanks to everybody. We've been asking people to vote for weeks now, so thanks to everybody who responded.
You know, yeah, thank you.
But we got to keep it going.
Yeah, the drapes the vote is still continues. I know we got a triple day coming up here soon. But back to Tyrese really quickly here. I don't know if he becomes the darling of the NBA if he stays here in Sacramento. And so we talked about the trade working for everybody, both teams. The trade worked for the players also.
Mm-hmm.
The players involved. Tyrese, he's blossomed into this leader, leads the NBA in assists, all-star. And also Domantas Sabonis gets to become a franchise cornerstone on a winning team and really play his game. You know, him and Miles Turner, they had some solid years, but it didn't translate into winning.
Right.
And now you're seeing Domas, you know, a three-time All-Star, All-NBA, really playing the best basketball of his career right now.
I think we've talked about this before. This is fascinating to me, to your point about Domas and the success they had, he and Miles Turner with the Pacers, from 2016 through 2020, and I don't think Domas was there for all of that, but from 2016 through 2020, the Pacers won between 42 and 48 games every year, and they lost in the first round all five
every
years.
Year. They were good, but
it
didn't train, you know.
Right.
They had maxed out almost.
Uh-huh.
And so something needed to be done, you know, from an Indiana perspective, and fortunately for us, he came here to Sacramento. And so, yeah, back to, you know, Tyrese, I would love to see him play. It's also Chris Duarte's chance.
Oh,
maybe
that's right.
If he gets some run tonight.
I remember him.
Yeah, remember him, right? Hopefully he gets some burn tonight to send a message to Indiana like, you shouldn't have got rid of me, you know?
We're going to see Sasha, right? And I'm not saying we should, but just based on Mike Brown's pattern so far, the fact that he played last game, played well, we're going to see Sasha.
Definitely. Going to see Sasha. I would be completely blown away.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just last game. It was the game before that. And I know Keegan got hurt, and then that's how Sasha got his minutes in the second half. But on the floor, Sasha has looked good the last two games. We've talked about Mike Brown rewarding guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha should be rewarded for his play the last couple of games.
Would like to see the Kings make some free throws tonight. So I did some research on free throws, and I found this on Wired. Do you know who the well, we'll get to the free throws in just a moment. First, thank you, Jay.
Yeah.
Here's Tyrese talking to the media today, and he doesn't talk about the trade. He was just asked what he thinks of where the Kings are right now. Tyrese Halliburton today.
I think the new coach has helped a lot. And, you know, I think winning changes things. Like, Fox has been one of the best guards in the league, you know, over the past couple of years. And Domas is a seamless fit. So, and they got really good guys that fit in the group well. I think Malik is a really, really good player. Keegan's a good draft pick. They filled out their roster really well. So that has a lot to do with their success.
So I think maybe there's some progress there, because it's not, hey, why did you get traded?
Right.
We're finally, I think everybody is finally getting beyond that.
Getting past that.
Yeah.
And, I think, you know, fortunately, with Tyrese in Indiana and Sacramento, it wasn't us talking about that. Now, if you know, we had some national writers here or something, guys like Kevin O'Connor and, you know, guys like that, maybe they would bring it up. But I think when you talk in front of Sacramento media and Indiana media, we both understand what it was and what it is right now.
Would like to see Domantas and De'Aaron Fox play tonight, even though, you know, and nothing against Tyrese Haliburton, but I'd love to see both of them show, you know, all those critics that, you know, the Kings did it. They made a pretty good trade.
Yeah.
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 Want to hear about, oh, they traded the wrong guy.
Can you imagine, even if Tyrese's not playing, if the Pacers win this game, it's like, see? That's the narrative. Like, the Kings, you know, they've maxed out. They've reached the ceiling. They never should have traded Tyrese, even though Tyrese isn't even playing tonight. Mm-hmm. But that would be the narrative. And so, no, I'm with you. Our stars better be stars tonight.
Yeah. Okay. Quickly, the free throws.
Yeah, let me hear it.
There was an interview that was done actually in 2019 with Steve Nash. Did you know? I didn't realize this. Steve Nash, his career free throw percentage, 90.43, highest in league history.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Okay. 90.43. So this guy who wrote this piece, he got together with Steve Nash to shoot some free throws and get some pointers. This was 2019. Steve Nash had retired in 2015. So he goes out there 4 years later, and they're shooting. Steve Nash says, it's been a while. And they shoot, and he misses his first free throw. And the guy was like, he said, I almost felt sorry for him. Then Steve Nash made his next 99.
Are you serious?
His next 99 free throws.
Wow.
When he said he had barely shot him in 4 years. And the writer asked him, doesn't it get, like, you know, boring or repetitive when you're making all these shots? And Steve Nash says, it's kind of like meditative. You get in that state of mind,
yeah.
you know, so much of it obviously is mental. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Kings, who, as we pointed out last year, they were what, seventh in free throw percentage?
Seventh, yeah.
And this year they're last.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the distractions and the things going on. And it's one of the ways the Kings are beating themselves. And hopefully it stops soon. I'd like to see them make some free throws tonight because they're capable of being a much better foul shooting
but
team.
You know how it is, Whitey. It you know, I talked earlier about momentum. It can go both ways. And I feel the same when it comes to free throw shooting. The more you miss, the more it gets into your head, the more we talk about it. And then it sort of snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it's an issue right now. They know it's an issue right now. We've seen with Kevin Huerter and some of his shooting, he knows at times he's had a rough time shooting the ball. Then it gets in your head and then starts snowball. Fortunately, it seems like he's starting to come out. Like, you just need to have a game where you go 25 or 27
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Like, that's the only way to me out of it. Obviously, practice and everything, but you got to do it in the games. And I think right now, you know, these are professionals, obviously, and you would think that this shouldn't bother them, but it has to, right? Because they're human beings. Trust me, De'Aaron Fox knows he's shooting 72%. Domantas Sabonis knows he's shooting 60%. And I guarantee you these guys want to make it, but then you get to the line, uh-oh, here we go again, you know? Sort of like, and I'm not comparing these guys to Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons, his free throw situation, it was all
yips.
Mental.
He got the yips. Yep.
Exactly. And so it can snowball into that. And I think that's what you're seeing now with Sacramento. Part of it is, you know, it's getting into their heads a little bit. What's interesting about De'Aaron Fox, in that Milwaukee game, I believe he was perfect from the line. In that Milwaukee game, it was Malik Monk who was 6 of 10 from the free throw line and missed. De'Aaron missed the one at the end.
Missed the one because combined they missed three of the last four.
Yeah, he missed the one at the end, excuse me. Yeah, but it was Malik Monk who missed four,
right.
Which is shocking.
Yes,
so,
it is shocking because we know that De'Aaron Fox struggles with his foul shooting a little bit, right? That's an area in which he's got to get better. Sabonis struggles. He can be better. He should be better. But Malik Monk's a very good foul shooter.
Very good.
He missed, too. It was like, okay, something's
up, right? Yeah, just the juju or whatever you want to call it, it was off then. And, you know, we know the guys practice free throws. Mike Brown, what they do at the end of practice is you got to go around every court in the practice facility and make two straight. If you miss, you got to stay out there and keep shooting.
Because, you know, fans are going to fan. They need to practice their free throw shooting.
Like they don't. Right, exactly. And guys do it on their own, too. You know, like just because you don't necessarily see it in practice, guys work out on their own, too. And I guarantee you they take free throws when they work out.
They got to work on the mental aspect of free throw shooting. That's
what
they need to practice. If only I could help them. If only they could help me. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, the season is half over tonight, as we mentioned. So what is your midterm grade for the Kings? Tell you what grade they got from a national publication next on The Drive, guys, Sacktown Sports.